Well, good morning. I get that every time I come here. Good morning. Goodness me, I tell you, all asleep. Well, it's good to be with you again. It's been a while. I don't know where you've all been, but now this morning, I'm bringing half of their stuff here as well. This morning, some of you were going to leave thinking, well, I never went to church for that. Some of you are going to be thinking, well, I could have done with a bit more meat. And some of you will think, well, that was different. Because I decided to do just something a little different this morning. Does anybody know what that means? I did have this up here the last time I came as well. Well, if this clicker works. Yeah, the clicker's not working. Do you want a clicker? Do you know what it is now? You click too quick. Do you know what it is now? What is it? We understand that in your case, Mike. Does anybody else? Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, press, click again. That's right. Let's have a click. I'd love a clicker because there's a lot of clicking going on this morning. Well, hang on a minute. Be patient with me. God hasn't finished with me yet. Hang on. Yay, there we are. It looks like God hasn't finished with me yet. And I'm always reminded of that. So if you don't know me, because I got a feeling that there's one or two that don't know me, we do have a good pastor and a good counseling team for the end of this morning, because you might feel that you need a bit of counseling. And some people do feel a bit of trauma as well. But I always say this every time I speak, and I mean this from my heart. If you have an issue with anything I say, the pastor is there. He allows me at the front to speak. And what's more, he even asked me again. Now today he'll say, we'll have to book you again, which I've never understood. But hopefully this morning you'll get to know my heart and where I come from and why I love serving the Lord and speaking about him. I'm still in college. I'm in my third year. So I'm 52 and I'm doing my theology degree. I don't think I'm doing wonderful, but I'm loving the study. Absolutely incredible. And one of the lecturers, Jonathan Black, he's as straight as they come, you know. You wonder if there's a personality in there. But he does, he's got a great gift of communication. You know, from the front, he just communicates. It's tremendous. And he puts it in a way that I understand. So I'm in the college, and I'm running up the stairs, and there's a couple of the young students, a couple of young ladies, just giving him a gift of a box of chocolates for their appreciation for him. And he's like, oh, thank you. And I could see he was visibly uncomfortable. So when he came in the lecture room, I said, that was nice, you're getting a gift like that. He said, yes. He said, I don't do gifts very well. I don't do people very well. Actually, I don't do anything very well. So that's the kind of person that he is. And we're doing one of the modules at the moment, and I had to watch a webinar. So I thought, I got to get back to Jonathan on this, because it was a bit like, anyway, what today I'm going to be speaking to you about boys and girls is that kind of thing. So I put, hi, Jonathan. Just watched the webinar recorded on the 10th for level 6. I noticed that it was muffled a lot when you stopped to take a breath. Could you not do that, please? Also, whilst you were explaining the meaning of virtues, the firm will to give God and your neighbor what is due, I have some understanding of what God is due, but my neighbor's an absolute nightmare. Loud TV and music, moaning and aggressive. He deserves a good kicking. Do I give him what is due? So I asked Fiona, and she said, if I was you, I wouldn't send that. So I went, you're not me. And I sent it. But he came back, and it quite moved me. It challenged me. A three-line response that he gave. He said, I'll try not to breathe next time. Ha. You give him his due as one created in the image of God to be loved by God and his people. Man alive, goodness. I wake up to my neighbor's telly 7 o'clock every morning. You know, I go down and I can hear it 9 o'clock on a Sunday and on a Saturday. But I was really moved by Jonathan's response. And that's what I wanted to kind of base this morning on. So it's a bit different. But unfortunately, this is kind of congregation participation. And you just need to shout out. There's no order. So I'm going to read. Once you recognize who I'm speaking about, just shout out who I am speaking about. And there will be a message in it. There's a message in the core of the text of everything as well. So, are you ready? Well, that's a couple of you. Right, okay. He's had no less than 149 songs to appear on Billboard's Hot 100 pop chart in America. Of these, 114 were in the top 40. 40 were in the top 10, and 18 went to number one. His number one single spent a total of 80 weeks at number one, and his date of birth was the 8th of January, 1935. Good, Elvis Presley, yeah, okay. So, Don't Be Cruel is at the top. That's his all-time grace, All Shook Up. Love Me Tender, Heartbreak Hotel, Teddy Bear, Jailhouse Rock, and he died in 1977 at the age of 42. Now then, what do we know? I know, right? Some of us are thinking, I have nothing to do with worldly things. I have no idea about it. What do we know about Elvis? He died at 42. He's from Graceland. Well, where is Graceland? Yeah, in America somewhere. Anyone ever been to America? I've been to America. There was a couple there. Anyone been to Graceland? No one's been to Graceland. Who was he married to? Priscilla, and he had one child? Yeah. How did he die? It was a drug overdose, but the drug overdose was prescribed by the doctor. So he was on uppers and downers, so he had to be up for all of his concerts, and then when he needed to come down, he'd have downers. And so the media said that he was found on his toilet. 44, I think he was. Actually, not 40, 44 when he died. I said 42 there, didn't I? Yeah, I think it was 44. He was a big guy when he died. But I got a DVD set on Elvis. Let me just say, you're not participating very well so far. Okay. I'm hoping it gets a bit better. But we obviously don't know much about Elvis. They called him the King of Rock and Roll. And his mother was a born-again Christian. And he was brought up as a Christian himself. When the chapel is where he learned to sing. It was called Black Gospel. On this DVD set that I've got, obviously he'd already passed on. He died in 1977. But his band said he would never start a concert without prayer. We'd all stand in a circle and we would all pray. But there were occasions when we didn't know where Elvis was. And on a couple of those occasions, he was found on his knees in the toilet praying. And they show some clips of when they were standing in a circle and Elvis was there praying with him and he's crying his eyeballs out. One of them said after every concert, there would be a worship session that Elvis insisted took place. And yet, when we think of Elvis, we look back at all of those womanizing, we think of him as drugs and all. For some reason, the picture is kind of, I'll say wrong, in our minds. One of his band, I think it was a drummer, said Elvis found it difficult to live with himself because he had a weakness. And his weakness was women. He couldn't say no to women. And it was a huge weakness of Elvis. But I always think that as people, we're not made to have fame. We're not created to have fame outside of Christ. If it's outside of Christ, that's when we start to fall. That's when we start to live as we want to live in our fame. But in Christ, it's good. It's all. So, This was one of Elvis's songs. Here he is. Whether he was the... Is my guitar coming through? Yeah, thank you. So this is where you join in a bit. This is where you join in a bit. Yes. Oh, goodness me, I tell you, Christmas is coming. Right.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I stay? Would it be a sin if I can't help falling in love with you?
Oh, you sound good.
Like a river flows surely to the sea, darling, so it goes. Some things are meant to be. Take my hand, take my whole life too. If I can't help falling in love with you,
if I
can't help falling in love with you.
Well, you sing much better than you participate. Okay, second person. This person in the 1980s had 7 number one hits on the Billboard in the contemporary chart, setting a record for the most number one singles by a female artist in the decade. Saving All My Love for You for 3 weeks. Come on. Sad dad, yeah, look, I knew someone loved it. Well, that's right. How Will I Know for 1 week? And in February 1986, The Greatest Love of All. Does anybody know the great film that she was in?
Bodyguard.
The Bodyguard. Do you know the song for Bodyguard? What's that song called? I'm looking at my wife. She's coming up to 50. I Will Always Love You. That's right. Whitney Houston, brought up in a Christian home. She went to church. Does anybody know her famous auntie? Sorry? No, it's close. And the name will come back to me in a minute. She Dionne Warwick. Dionne Warwick is her auntie. They went to the same church. Now, Whitney Houston was married to Bobby Brown. And so if you see the film that's out at the moment, it came out about 5-6 months ago. The tabloids actually say that Bobby Brown was not the trouble now, but at the time, Bobby Brown just took all of the flack. What the film says, and what now Bobby Brown and others say, was actually the trouble was Whitney Houston. She was an absolute nightmare, a beautiful woman. And in 2012, she was found drowned in her bath. There were drugs nearby. Amazingly, 3 years later, her daughter, at the age of 22, Kristen, was also found dead in the bath. Well, actually, she was found alive in a bath, but she died of pneumonia a couple of weeks later. And it's ironic. So here we got somebody, I mean, Whitney Houston, incredible singer, beautiful woman, and in The Bodyguard with Kevin Costner. Yeah, Kevin Costner did this film. But again, it's someone else who stepped outside of Christ. You know, we need to know our weaknesses. I don't believe we were made to carry this fame and glory and wealth and power. I really don't. And that's why people like that end up not knowing. Actually, I don't know whether you watch this, but I don't. But I got to watch it because Fiona watches it every night. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I love it. I do. I can't help it. I just love watching them all eat all that stuff. And there's one of the people in there, Caitlin. She's a billionaire. But just one thing, I actually don't know what they're called, but she said, I don't hang around too many famous people because what they become is just terrible. And I thought, wow, and she's a billionaire, and she's always around them. But everybody said that she was lovely. But so this is the song that Whitney Houston sung. Does anybody know the original artist of this? You're like a encyclopedia. You That's right, yeah. Dolly Parton is the writer of the song. If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And I will always love you. I will always love you. Last verse. I hope life treats you kind, and I hope you have all you dreamed of, and I wish you joy and happiness. But above all of this, I wish you love, and person number three. You might get this with the first line. I walked the line, topped the charts for 11 weeks. Oh, look at Johnny Cass. Does anybody know the nickname, what they used to always call him? The Man in Black. That's it, yeah. You had to be over 80 to know that one. Sorry. Right. So he was well known as the Man in Black, and Johnny Cass died from complications resulting from his diabetes at 2 a.m. on the 12th of September, 2003, aged 71, less than 4 months after his lifetime soulmate, June, died. What do we know about Johnny Cash? Ah, good, see, another preacher's son. And he went right off the rails, deep into drugs, deep into depression, even while, but this is how he started his music career, that even though he was a totally lost man, how he even managed to live after doing what he did is beyond me. But he walked into a... Has anybody ever seen his film? There's a documentary, well, a film, yeah, good film, about Johnny Cash. And I know that we've done this one before, and I'm not going to sing all the verses, but Johnny Cash walked into us with his band in a corner shop in those days because he wanted to become famous, you know, he wanted his music. And they sang a song. And then the producer said, give me something new. Give me something no one's heard before. Give me a new style. And this is the song that he went.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day is through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you, because you're mine,
I walk the line. Can you do the chorus bit? You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Johnny Cash, another brilliant artist. Three people all started off well, and thankfully, Johnny Cash did come back to the Lord. I don't know, probably in his 60s sometime, and you'll see him in TV documentaries talking about Jesus. He did do a Christmas thing as well, where he had all of his friends come, and I forgot to put the picture up there of Johnny Cash. There he is. But just became a man of God. And people knew his past, knew that he knew forgiveness. He'd become anew, as was read out by Alan earlier, a new creation in Christ. And people knew the change in his life. Right, we've got just one more before I just say a few more things. Where is that person got? There it is. This person's net worth was around $60 million. He was one of the most popular American singers. Ken Dodd. Actually, something like interesting about Ken Dodd, because he didn't live too far away, did he? Was that after he died, it amazed me, and I felt like I almost sinned. That whether he was a church girl or Christian, I don't know. But this lady said, I knocked Ken Dodd's door because my daughter wanted to meet him. And he said, yes, 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 bring her, because she left the little girl by the hedge because she was only 5. Yes, go and get her. And she said, when we turned to the door, there he was with his tickling stick, and he entertained them on the door. And you probably know that when you went to one of his concerts, you weren't going there for 2 hours, you were there for 6, 7, 8 hours, because he just did not stop. Incredible man, really an incredible man. But no, you're wrong. Right. Okay. Take Me Home, Country Roads. John Denver. Rocky Mountain High, Sunshine on My Shoulders, Annie's Song, Back Home Again, Sweet Surrender. Thank God I'm a Country Boy and I'm Sorry. In terms of record sales, he ranks at the top of the heap with 14 gold and 8 platinum albums, to his credit, in the United States alone. The John Denver Greatest Hits album ranks as one of the biggest sellers in the history of RCA Records, with more than 10 million copies sold. Date of death, 10th of October, 97. John Denver's flying license had been suspended. This is how he died, is that he'd been caught drink driving a car a couple of times, and a knock-on effect with that, that he wasn't allowed to fly. But he was trying out a new airplane, that he bought, and he took it up, and he crashed it. When you see the film about, now John Denver was not brought up in a Christian home, to my knowledge, and he had never received Christ. One of the songs that he wrote, he was in China, because he left his wife and his daughter, and he was flying all over the world doing gigs, and he started having affairs. And one of the lines says, I'm sorry for the way things are in China, but more than anything else, I'm sorry for myself. Now that to me paints a picture of someone that is trapped, someone stuck in his way and just cannot find a way out. And this is one of the songs that John Denver, one of my favorites actually. Have I got a picture of John Denver on here? I have, there he is. Looks like the Milky Bar kid, didn't he? He could have been, I don't know, he might have been Milky Bar kid. All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome, I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go.
Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down. So many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I think of you. Every song I sing for you. When I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you wait for me. Hold me like you never let me go. Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. And now the time has come to leave you one more time. Let me kiss you and close your eyes, and I'll be on my way. I'll dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the times I won't have to say. Oh, kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you wait for me. Hold me like you never let me go. Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go.
One of the great questions in life is, will I get to heaven? I took a funeral service last week, and the guy that died, he was 85, wasn't a Christian, but a friend got in back, long story short, got back in touch with me 2 years ago, and I hadn't seen him since I was 16, because he'd found that I was walking the cross around Wales. And he traveled up to Newtown, bought me a cup of tea and a cake. We had a chat, and he said how much he was moved by seeing me walking with the cross, that kind of thing. And when his dad died, he wanted me to take the service. And it's kind of a battle in it, because even in this setting, you think, do I really preach the gospel as it is? Because it seems unfair, doesn't it? Now, this is the huge question. If God is a God of love, and I know if you're a Christian, you would say that he is, and in his foreknowledge, and he knows everything past, knows everything future, this is the God that we believe in, okay? This God created people knowing that billions were going to go to hell. That's the message that we're giving people. And when people, it's sobering, isn't it? When we say he's a God of love, and yet he created people knowing that billions, and in my mind, I'm thinking, goodness me, there must be more going to hell than there is that's going up to heaven. So when somebody asks you that question, surely as Christians, then we have to have some kind of answer to defend the God that we believe in, to defend people like Elvis, Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston's pastor at her funeral service said, regardless of her condition, when we last spoke, she knew Jesus. She loved Jesus. And her heart was for, words to that effect, was for Jesus. Is she in heaven? What about Elvis and his weaknesses? The things, the way that sometimes he lived his life. Is he in heaven? What about someone like John Denver? We need answers. So this is what I would normally say, because we don't have an answer. He's God. No, we're just his creation. And if I made something, you know, that something is answerable to me because I'm the creator of it. But this is what I would say. Is it, do you have children? Most would say yes. And I'd say, what a terrible person you are. Why on earth would you want to bring children into a world like this, not knowing whether he was going to become a mass murderer, not knowing whether he was going to be the next Hitler? You just don't know. And you still chose to have kids. What kind of a person are you? And what's more, you open for grandchildren? That's kind of... Because, see, it's unexplainable. We all do. We don't know. But there's something inbuilt in us. We want children. We know it's the command of God. I probably wouldn't say that to that person I was speaking to. But God is a God of love. God does accept. But there's something, an attribute to God that most of us might forget, is that God can have nothing to do with sin. So it's not that, John chapter 3 verse 18 says that we condemn ourselves. He doesn't condemn us. He sent the way back. If I've got children coming into my house and they were stinking dirty and bringing their sin into my house all the time, I'm going to put a stop to it. And I said, look, you're welcome to come in, you know, but there are rules for you coming in this house. It's my house. So you do as I say. Am I wrong for doing that? I don't think I am. Now, there was another song that I was going to, but I thought, you know what? If I just put this up there, you're going to attribute it to Cliff Richard. Our Father who art in heaven. I know some of you would come in at the Christmas time because it was a Christmas song. There's some verses. I haven't got a telly. I can't see that. Come on, try the other one. No, even worse. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. I think that's fair. I think Elvis, John Denver, and Lord Whitney Houston, I think God is a fair God. And that's what I would say, is that no, God is a fair Father. And he will, every person individually, he will look, and a fair, just Father will give what is deserved. I got to turn around because I can't see the telly. Oops. Can you afford, are you up there? Can you, because it's not going. Only one. Don't give him the third one. Is it working now? Oh, there we are. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. My goodness. Let me tell you, I know what I do wrong in my life. I know what I think yesterday. I know what I was thinking this morning. And there's no way what I want to put up on the screen for you to see. And yet God does not count those things against me. Well, why is that? Why didn't he count my sins against me? And the next one, I'll pretend you're the clicker. Click. Click. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. Something that I think that probably that Elvis and Whitney Houston failed in is that they went their way and they did not rest on Christ. That was the great failure of their life. Because even, I mean, there's countless numbers of people in the scriptures that were mega famous, but they were resting on God. And that's the difference. So in our lives, if we're not resting on God, we're going to sink. Click. Please click. Oh, don't show them that one. Oh, wait, click then. Oh, no. I'm not fighting with you. Come on. Right. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. In this funeral I was at, this was the message that I gave. Ivor's not in the box. Because if Ivor was in the box, obviously his name was Ivor, if Ivor was in the box, we'd be down here with screwdrivers and wrenches trying to get him out. But he's not. Because we only live in the Bible, this is what I said, the Bible teaches that we live in our bodies. It's like a house. And one day, Clive, the life in here is going to leave this body. And when Clive leaves this body, it won't move anymore. And it's amazing that when we come to services like this, when we've lost a loved one, how close we feel to God. And it's not that you have drawn nearer to God. It's that God has drawn nearer to you at this time. But what you choose to do after a funeral service in a couple of weeks' time is you distance yourself from God and from the death of the loved one that you've lost. But God's heart is to move close to you. But it's entirely up to you whether you want to draw close to him. James 4:7 says, submit to the Lord your God and resist the things of the world, and he will draw closer to you. Words to that effect. God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignant. He feels anger every day towards sin. And if my kids were lost in sin, I would feel exactly the same. I still love them, but I would feel anger towards the sin that has control in their life. Exactly the same as God. And the last click, click, click. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And I know that if you're a Christian here this morning and you know the forgiveness, the love of God, you know that release, you've never looked for anything more. Because the likes of those that we've talked about this morning, and where are they? I can guarantee you, and you can see in some of those verses there, God is a righteous judge. He's not unfair. He's a good father. And he will give what is deserved. And why did God create us? Exactly the same reason. We've got to have kids. And why do you want grandchildren? It's just there. It's a part of God that's in us. We can't explain it. And we can't explain it away. It's just the way that it is. I'm not sure how long I've been here. And I think I've almost finished. I wanted to end with that email. You can give him his due as one created in the image of God, to be loved by God and his people. It's on me because sometimes with my neighbor, I do feel like going in and kicking his head in. But I don't. Because there's another part of me in there, and I know it's God, that wants to love him and care for him and bring him closer to the kingdom if I possibly can, or if God can use me to do that. So we have to forget about ourselves and turn to Christ. And it's not easy, is it? It's a hard life. I go into prisons, and on occasions, the inmate or somebody will say, you know, would it be easy for me, Clive, when I get out? You're joking me. Every day's hard. Every day saying no to things and yes. And it's so difficult. But if you make the right decisions and we stand on Christ, we rest on Christ, I walk the line. Because you're mine, I'll walk the line. I don't think I got another song to sing, but because this one just came up, see if you know this one. Because I found my love. Fiona thinks I'm going to mention her name. She is my love. She is, obviously, but see if you know this. I found love for me. Darling, just dive right in and follow my lead. Now you're listening to those words, but I'm singing them. I found a love. Follow my lead. Let me in. My heart is saying something totally different when I'm singing that words. Well, I found a girl, beautiful and sweet. Oh, I never knew you were that someone waiting for me. 'Cause we were just kids when we fell in love, not knowing what it was. I will not give you up this time. Jesus, just hold me now.
your heart is all I want, and in your arms you're holding me.
And I just got to do this because I'm getting a bit emotional singing that, but there's a high note. Does anybody know the high note? You don't know it? It goes like this.
Baby, I'm dancing in the dark.
Now, don't dance with the dark. Don't dance with the dark, especially coming up to Christmas. I'm telling you, the temptation will be amazing to dance with darkness. Stand in the light, rest on Christ, or you'll find yourself in a position that Elvis and Whitney Houston and Johnny Cash found themselves and end up in places that you never intended to be. God accepts you, loves you, and wants you to be close. He wants to hold you in his arms. And that's his heart. It's his desire. But you make the choice whether you want to stay there or not. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for Jonathan in the college with me, but Lord, kind of being facetious, being funny, and yet came back, Lord, with such a godly response to challenge my heart and other people's hearts. What we're to be, Lord, for your kingdom. And as we're coming through, you know, coming towards, Lord, this Christmas period, help us, Father, not to take chances, not to think, well, that's okay, you know, it's not going to hurt, but to focus on you and listen to your heart and rest on you. Protect all of us, Lord, on the roads as well and with other people during this time of season. And we know it's all about you. And we want you to know, Lord, that we love you. And we're so grateful and thankful that you love us. Father, every song that I sung today was about love. And we know, Lord, that you are love. God is love. And just to try and encompass that and accept that into our hearts and minds is too much. But we worship you and lift you up this morning. Because even in your majesty, everything that you are, Lord, the creator of all things, you love us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.